This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, a perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Oh, I am thrilled today. I have an author on who actually, I wasn't going to read his book, so it's good I did because he's on today, and it is really wonderful to welcome Skip Pritchard to Joy on Paper. Hi, Skip.
Hi, Patsy. It's great to be here. Great to be with someone who loves books as much as I do.
And I will tell you the truth. I almost skipped your book. You know, Anna Sacca, who's one of my favorite publicists, sent me a note about your book, and I thought, oh, please, not another business book. I mean, I love business books, and, you know, I learn from them. But I thought, oh, I don't know if I'm up to it. And then I read your book, and I think, oh, my goodness, this isn't a business book. This is a book. It's just amazing. I was like, whoa, you've got it, Skip. You've got it.
Thank you. I tried to write something that would be entertaining and that you happen to learn lessons rather than the other way around.
Exactly. And you do it so beautifully. I was thinking, you know, as I started it and I got to the part where you start the story and I'm thinking, this is a novel. This isn't a business book. And then I'm going on, I'm reading. And I think, no, this isn't a novel. This is a screenplay. I could make a movie out of this thing. I could storyboard this thing. It is fantastic.
Well, thank you so much. That was the goal. You know, I read all of these business books as well, and so often they have good information, but sometimes they're really boring. And I was trying to package something up that people would actually want to read, even if they were just, you know, on a plane or just trying to enjoy a nice story. Rather than a business book, and really a leadership book, a success book, and just something that people could talk about when they were, you know, having a book club or whatever. So thank you so much.
Well, I should tell everybody the name of the book now, now that I'm raving about it. It is called The Book of Mistakes, 9 Secrets to Creating a Successful Future. And I tell you something really exciting here. I just celebrated the 4th anniversary of Joy on Paper, and you will appreciate this. When I started this program, I didn't know anything about radio. I had no connections in the book business, no connections in the publishing world. The only writer I knew was a very sweet lady who wrote a casserole book, and I knew no authors, and I had no idea how I was going to find anyone, and I had 3 weeks to prepare. Whew. But I did it.
How did you do that? That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, in fact, somewhere in there, I'm following a lot of the things that you talk about in there. You know, I was terrified, but I just was determined. And I said, I'm going to do it. I don't know why I said I'm going to do it, because I didn't know what I was doing. But I did. And so when I was reading your book and you have these 9, you know, mistakes that people make, I thought, well, whoa, I need to have you on the program so you can help people. You know, I didn't read your book, but somewhere in there, we've got some one of those magical, I always called, you know, life is like a tapestry. You have all these threads that go in and out, weave in and out, and somewhere along the line, they meet. And so you're like one of the magical threads in my life. Somewhere along the line, just so many of your ideas are now my ideas. So I want you to share them with my listeners. And, you know, since you are called one of the top 100 leadership speakers, I'm going to let you talk and tell us both about the idea for the book, how you did come up with the idea of writing it in the form of parables, and then we'll get to the 9 mistakes, okay?
Sure. Well, the story is about a young man named David who's frustrated in his life. He is struggling, and life is not exactly turning out like he wanted. And then there's a backstory as well with a young woman named Aria. And the idea is that there is this book of mistakes. There's these nine secrets that if you learn them, it'll make you incredibly successful. And there are nine teachers that come to teach him these nine secrets. I wrote it as a story, Patsy. You were talking about this earlier. Just, I didn't want people to be bored. I wanted them to be entertained. And in addition, there's a lot of research that says stories make it much more memorable. A professor at Stanford says that you can remember stories 22 times more than facts. And other research I've done shows that your brain actually produces hormones that helps you remember things. So I knew a story was a good method, but mainly I just didn't want to be boring. I wanted it to be different. I wanted people to be entertained. And I thought, you know, if I write this in a way that even my daughter, who's 21 now, who would never pick up a business book voluntarily, would want to read it and be engaged with it, then I would go that direction. So it became something of a passion of mine. And then I give full credit, Patsy, I give full credit to Qantas Airlines, because I was flying to Australia. And I thought, well, I have these nine mistakes and all this research on these nine mistakes. And I was going to write a nonfiction kind of thing. And then I thought, well, I want to engage. I want to be more entertaining. I opened up my laptop and the story just kind of came to me. So talking about that thread, it just kind of was a thread. I just kept pulling and pulling. And by the time I landed, I had the bulk of the story written. And it's been extraordinary. And now I'm watching it get translated into languages all around the world. And there's a Chinese version coming out. The Korean version just came out. Mexican version. Ukrainians to come. It's just been fascinating to see it take off and go all around the world.
Well, you write beautifully. You could be a novelist. After this, you can start writing novels, because you really have that talent to pull a reader into the story. And I know all the time you're weaving in all of these ideas and these facts, but you do it so beautifully. It was funny. 2 weeks ago, we had here in Newport Richey, Florida, the Loquat Festival. Now, I never knew that this area was the capital of loquats. I didn't even know what a loquat was. But it reminded me of your story about honey. So that's one of your mistakes. So let's talk about that honey festival you went to, and what did you discover there?
Yes, absolutely. I'm at this honey festival. It's called the Lithopolis Honey Festival. There's all these wonderful festivals all around Ohio, and my main house here is in Ohio, and we went to this honey festival, and I was expecting honey. I was expecting, you know, what honey's a commodity. I mean, honey's honey. I didn't know anything different about it, like you were saying with your experience. And all of a sudden when we went, I realized, you know, over here there was this whole experience. Somebody was doing this bee beard kind of thing, which I don't know if that was sane or not, but thousands and millions of bees flying around making a beard, and over to the left were... Right, it's kind of weird to me, but somebody over to the left had bee candles, and there were shirts, and there was all kinds of honey, and honey infused with lavender, and honey that was infused for you to protect you against coughing or allergies or sinus infections. I mean, everybody had their different take on honey, and it just struck me, this is an incredible thing, because what was seemingly a commodity, everybody had put their own spin on it. And the mistake in the book that people make, so often people who are not successful make this mistake, is trying to blend in rather than standing out. Well, at this festival, it was the opposite. The success was because everybody was trying to stand out and doing it naturally, doing it authentically. But the honey became secondary, and really how they brought that idea forward was a variety of different ways. So successful people tend to stand out. I mean, we see this all the time. We learn young. We learn when we're teenagers. We try to blend in. We succumb to peer pressure. We want to wear what everyone's wearing and act like everyone's acting, like, and those kind of things in different language. All of those kind of things come together. But as we move on and see what real success is, success stands out. I always say greatness stands out. We see it over and over. When you see someone standing out, that's what draws you in. And so, of course, you can stand out for the wrong reasons. But if you stand out for the right reasons, and it may be your business excels in customer service, it might be your writing stands out for a reason, but you want to do something different to stand out. And that's another reason why I wrote the book in this format, was because it grabbed your attention, right? Patsy, you might have passed it on by, but you start to read and go, oh, this stands out. It's not exactly what I thought. And that's going to pull your attention in.
Oh, it wasn't at all what I expected. And it was I love to use this word, joy. It was a joy to discover this book. I thought, wow, because it reminded me of something. When I started this program, as I mentioned, I didn't know anything about radio, about interviewing people. I was a very shy person. I'd never even made a public speech. And so here I was, behind the microphone, and my first show was all right because I had a wonderful woman, Irene Goodman, a literary agent, and she's one of those keynote speaker types of people, and she gets paid, you know, to do keynotes. So she actually took over that first program for me, which was a relief. But the next few programs, I did what everybody does, and you know, you hear interviews on television or radio, and you know, they ask set questions, and even the publicists are very helpful. They send you when you have a book, they'll send you a list of questions. So I my first, second and third program, I wrote down, I had a whole list of actual questions I was going to ask, you know, where were you born, what was your first book, what, you know, the set questions. And I was pretty stilted and pretty scared. And then it was funny, on my fourth program, I had this wonderful, wonderful author. His name is Doug Brunt. And something about him, his voice, his cheerful attitude, his book that I had read, I just relaxed. And I threw away the notes and I just started talking to him. The first thing I said to him, I'm looking at your Facebook page and you're so handsome, I can't concentrate. Well, he was so shocked, like, what? You know, I'm doing an interview. And then after that, he got silly, I got silly, and we had the most delightful hour just being silly and talking about books, the love of books. I right away, because I had read his book, I said, well, obviously, you know, you've read F. Scott Fitzgerald. And he said, how'd you know that? I said, well, you know, I've read 10,000 books. I should be able to recognize somebody who's read F. Scott Fitzgerald. And so after that, I relaxed and everything changed. From then, that day on, I never wrote notes. Writers will send me things saying, well, what are you going to ask me? And I emailed them back, nothing. They're like, what? But that's exactly what happens. I just sort of let you guys talk and have lots of fun.
Well, you know what I love about that? If you look at your journey over the last 4 years, is you had a desire to do this, and mistake number five plays so into that, which is staying in your comfort zone. And I say in the book, winners seek out the uncomfortable. So at first, you're going to be uncomfortable. You're pushing the edge of your boundaries. You're doing something completely new. And for you, you were thinking, you know, do I have a background in this? Why do I want to do this? What is it going to seem like? And then all of a sudden, when you push the edge of your comfort zone, you end up comfortable again. And the reason you're comfortable is because your comfort zone has now expanded. And now 4 years later, you're a natural at it. You're having these natural conversations. And then you can push to a different edge of your comfort zone. So it's something that I see. It's interesting in your story, because you can overcome anything if you have that strong enough desire to make it successful, to make it work. And then all of a sudden, all the people then come around and the things happen and the people that get drawn in, and it just works. So what a great story.
Well, you know, it's so funny. You always hear, you know, follow your passion. My passion has always been reading books. I never intended, I never even thought about doing a radio program. But when I got the idea for the program, my sort of intro is, you know, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, because I knew there were so many people out there. I met people over the years and said, oh, I wish I could write a book, or I have an idea for a book, but, you know, none of them ever did it, as far as I know. And so when I started the program, I said, well, I want to encourage people, since I'm doing this program. I mean, I need a reason to do it, and I want to encourage people to write their books. And it's fun for me, you know, I now talk to, you know, hundreds of best-selling authors. I've talked to global best-selling authors, as I told David Baldacci the other day. You're global. It's not enough to be a New York Times best-selling author. But my biggest joy is really helping people start, the people who will come to me and say, you know, I wrote this book because of you. I listened to you, and I said I could do it. And now, 2 years later, they're on my program promoting a book that they wrote because I told them they could do it. I wasn't actually sure they could, but I said, what the heck? I'm going to encourage everybody, right?
That is fantastic. And I've interviewed David as well. And the stories behind people and how they get started and what's in there and why they come about with these things is amazing. And encouraging people to write, because they've done enough research saying that many, many people say that they have a desire to write a book, but they don't do it. Today, there's more tools to be an author than ever before. You can self-publish. You can. There's a variety of different ways to get your words out. And never before, ever in history, has technology been so aligned that you can get your story out in a beautiful way. And so there's almost no reason not to proceed with it. But so often we don't. And the book that, before I start even on these nine secrets of success, these nine mistakes that we often make, I say readiness is when your desire is greater than your distraction. And I think, Patsy, so many people are not ready. So they're saying, hey, Patsy, I want to write a book. And then you encourage them, and that's what they have to do, is they have to increase their desire. I mean, if you want to do it, you can't just say, I have a want to, I have a thought to, I have an idea to. Whatever your goal is, whether it's losing weight or opening a business or starting your own radio show or launching a book, is your desire greater than your distraction? All of us have these distractions in life. Every day, these distractions are pulling at us, right? The kids are doing this. I have this going on at work. There's meetings over here. I have bills. I have all these distractions. And you want to, success is the ability to reduce those distractions and increase your desire. So I say readiness is when your desire is greater than your distraction. When you really think about that formula to get things going and launched, that's the most important part. I'm going to increase my desire, and I'm going to decrease my distractions. And so when people are listening to you say that and encourage them about writing and you can do it, and I want you to just go ahead and get started, you're increasing their desire. You're giving them the path. You're saying, it's possible for you. And somebody may never have said that. They may be coming from a background where people are just saying you can't do something. And just to hear your voice saying, you can do this, that's going to fuel their desire. It's going to make it rocket fuel for them. And now I'm going to have to reduce these distractions long enough to make this happen, whatever this goal is. And it's a most incredible thing. I mean, you must feel so valued when somebody actually does that and is on your show to see that kind of result from an idea, from an encouragement, because it encouraged them to get things going.
Exactly. And it is so important to encourage people. I've had so many writers on who over the years, some have had wonderful and just marvelous encouragement from either their mothers or fathers or their teachers. But then I've had some who didn't write. They're starting to write now at the age of 60 and 70 because years ago, 50 years ago, they were told, oh, well, you can't do that. You can't. You couldn't. You could never write a book. You don't have the talent. Your English isn't good enough. You know, all of that. But I've had some people on who are 80 years old who have just started writing books, and it's so exciting.
It is exciting, and it can happen at any age. you know, Grandma Moses famously started painting late in life. But people can find their purpose, their calling, the thing that really gets them going at any time. That's the beautiful thing is, you know, I've seen this book to be particularly influential on people in transition points in their life. Midlife crisis, retirement, just starting out, graduating, whenever they're at an inflection point, because it is a dose of encouragement. That's really what it is. And yes, if you're 60, you can start. I mean, so many people think, oh, well, I wish I would have, and, you know, I'm looking in the rearview mirror. Well, the reason the windshield's bigger than the rearview mirror is because you're supposed to be looking forward. And as you look forward, think about what you want to become, what you want to do. And if you want to write that book, it's not hard to get started today. So you could say, oh, I have to do this, or I want... Why not write a page? Why not write the idea down? Why not start thinking about it? Why not just imagine what it would be? What would that look like in the end? Go to a bookstore and imagine your book on the shelf. All of those things are ways to kind of spark that desire and that kind of vision inside of you.
Well, that's why it's important.
It makes me think, too, Patsy. I was thinking when you were saying, you know, somebody told him in the past... We accept these labels, right? I mean, we accept these negative things people put on us of, you can't do it. And our brain just accepts that so easily. And it's harder sometimes for us to say, no, I'm going to think about what I can do and not what I'm told I can't do.
Well, I think that comes to, I think it's mistake number four, surrounding yourself with good people instead of bad people, right?
Yes, absolutely. Surrounding yourself with the wrong people is the fourth mistake because... people have this huge effect on us. There was a Holt Lundstedt study that said that people who are working with you actually can increase your feeling of happiness by over $100,000 a year in terms of value. It is extraordinary how much the people influence us. In fact, there was an article I read in Inc. magazine. If somebody gives you, somebody you know, gives you a five-minute blast of kind of anger, negativity, it will affect your immune system for 6 hours.
I mean, I believe it.
That's powerful.
Exactly.
Right? And yet we let these people come up to us and blast us with negativity and we don't do anything about it. We need to be guarding against that. So surrounding yourself with the wrong people is really, really dangerous. Don't let people be around you that are discouraging, that are pulling you aside, that are saying you can't get this, etc. I love the one of my favorite quotes is by Les Brown. He says, if you run around with nine losers, pretty soon you'll be the 10th loser. Right?
Well, you know, Skip,
we want to surround ourselves with the best people we can find.
Well, people should surround themselves with you by getting your book, which is called The Book of Mistakes, 9 Secrets to Creating a Successful Future, which, as I said, is not your ordinary business book. And Skip Pritchard, I think you're just fantastic. What is your website? You know, I could have you on for 2 hours, 3 hours. We should expand this program. And it's so funny because I wasn't going to read your book, and I'm so glad that I did. So maybe I could have you back on another day, and we could talk even more. Would that work?
I would love to do that. I love your mission and love how many books you read and all that you stand for and encouraging people. You can find me at skippritchard.com. There's no T. So Skip Pritchard, SKIPPRICHARD.com or thebookofmistakes.com as well.
Okay, Skip. Well, it's just been wonderful talking to you. I'm going to get back in contact and we'll have you back on because I want to actually talk about your entire writing process, the stories that you've written, the parables, and it's just wonderful. I think it's fantastic. So everybody, get this wonderful book. It's available wherever books are sold, and Skip's going to come back, right?
You bet. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye. Okay, we're going to have a commercial, and then I'll be right back with somebody who actually did the same thing.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers' clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z, and I am back, and this is exciting. I was just talking to Skip Pritchard, who wrote a book that encourages people to get out there and do it. And then now I have somebody on who she has done it, and I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Andrea Bart. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Patsy. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Well, you are okay. I first invited you because I had read your article about how I found my literary agent. And it's funny, I get, you know, I've read a thousand of these things. Mm-hmm. Yours is the best. It is the most comprehensive, the clearest, beautifully written, absolutely fantastic. So,
thank you.
So then I said, well, okay, I better read the book, huh? Like, duh. but before I start, I'm going to say one thing. You have a million-dollar smile. It is. I have gone back a couple of times just to look at your smile, because you have one of those smiles that just lights up a room. It's absolutely beautiful. So it is. I'm calling it the million-dollar smile, because I think probably you're going to make $1 million because your book, The Lost Night, is really quite amazing, and I don't know. Do you have a movie deal yet?
Well, we did sell the TV rights. So actually, Mila Kunis' production company is currently developing it as a limited series.
I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. The minute I read it, I read it, I said, "Oh, I don't know. This has to be so funny." The first paragraph of your book, when I read it, I thought, my gosh, if there was any agent who would not have picked you up reading that first paragraph, they would be hitting their head with their Gucci bag for the rest of their lives, because that is one of the best, absolutely best openings I have ever read. It is,
wow.
It's so fantastic. You read that. You put everything in place. I mean, right there, it's just fantastic. And I want to add, before I forget, because sometimes I do forget to say that the book is great, and the Audible book, wow, does she do a great job.
Yeah, I agree. I was able to help cast the audiobook and you know, help figure out the different actors who are going to play the different narrators, and they're all really incredible.
Well,
they really
I think the main one is the main one is Karen, right?
It's Kristen.
Kristen Tsai. Unbelievable. She captures. Well, it's she just captures, you know, this group of people that you write about in the book. So I'm going to let you tell about the group of people, but I have to sort of get this sort of I love the way she just pulls you into the story like you do with your words, but she does with the voice, and it's just. It's just cute. I mean, I was smiling as I was listening to how she did it. Now, this is a suspenseful book. It's your first book, and you just have done a fantastic job.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, you can't see me because it's radio, but I'm smiling that million-dollar smile right now. I really appreciate you saying that.
Well, you know, when I had talked to Gail Honeyman when... Eleanor Oliphant came out, and I told her then, I said, well, I know this book is going to be a movie because I just have this, I was a screenwriter, so when I get to a book, if I start like storyboarding it, mm-hmm. I know it has to be on film, and so this is exciting. So tell us the premise of the story, and without, you know, we're not going, it's the suspense, so we're not telling the ending, but you build it up beautifully.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, so without any spoilers, The Lost Night, N-I-G-H-T. The Lost Night is a thriller basically about a woman uncovering the dark truths surrounding her best friend's apparent suicide in a Brooklyn loft 10 years earlier. So to give a little more detail, 10 years ago, back in 2009, our narrator, Lindsay, was 23 years old. And she had this really close-knit group of friends who were living in a building called Calhoun Loft. It was one of those converted warehouse sort of artist loft buildings that was cheap and crummy, but everyone in it loved it, deep in Bushwick in Brooklyn. And on any given Friday night, they were sort of wandering from room to room in this building into concerts and poetry readings and dance parties and that kind of thing. And then one Friday night that started out like any other, the group's ringleader and Lindsay's best friend, Edie, was found in her apartment with a suicide note on her computer and a bullet in her head. And it was horrible, and the group kind of scattered and moved on until 10 years later when Lindsay uncovers evidence that suggests that it perhaps was not a suicide, and not only that, but that she herself may have been involved since her memories of that night are kind of hazy. And so the book sort of follows Lindsay on this journey as she's playing detective with her old life and trying to figure out what really happened to Edie all those years ago.
Well, I think The Lost Night is really great. And as I said, of course, it was chosen as an Amazon Best Book of March 2019. And mm-hmm. it's had so many wonderful, wonderful reviews. Glamour Magazine, Best Book of 2019. Real Simple, Best Book of 2019. New York Post, Best Book of the Week. mm-hmm. Crime Reads, Most Anticipated Crime Book of 2019. And even Hello Giggles. They loved it. So you're just getting all of the wonderful, wonderful reviews and wonderful compliments from some really fantastic people. You know,
it's been really exciting to me to see something that I've worked on for, you know, almost 5 years out in the world, and to have people seeming to like it and get it and connect with it. That's really, really gratifying.
Well, as I said, the minute anybody reads that first paragraph, they know that they're... I always love to have a writer. When I have a, you know, get a book and it's what I call solid writing, I don't have to worry about the grammar or, you know, any of that business. And, of course, you're a professional writer. You've written so many articles. So you're a solid writer and... You know, which is one thing, but then to be a solid writer and to be able to get into the characters, to be able to make them believable, to make us interested, and then to sprinkle along the clues along the way, you know, that's a great talent.
Yeah, thank you. I sometimes still don't totally know how I kept track of all the moving parts and managed to fit it all together in the end, but it was a big endeavor and a lot of hours and a lot of work. So I'm glad that it, you know, came out successful.
Well, it did. And I, as I said, I was so impressed with it. I was impressed with the article itself, how I got my agent, because as I said, you wrote it so well, that,
Thank you.
You know, my program is called Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And so many of mm-hmm. my listeners dream of writing, and then they eventually start writing, but then they face this horrible, horrible need to find somebody who will actually publish the thing, you know?
Right.
So let's talk about this article, because I think you, as I said, lots of people write these things, but they're general. They're sort of wishy-washy, if you ask me. But you're so specific. So tell us, how did you find your agent?
Yeah, I think I kind of noticed a similar thing, that there was a dearth of articles about how to actually complete this one step. And it's a really important step. And for a lot of people, a lot of writers, where they get stuck for sometimes years. It's a really tricky and critical part of the process if you want to be traditionally published. And so I thought it might be helpful for me to share how I found my agent, and to also get really specific and to show, you know, the successful query letter, as well as how the query, you know, the first attempt at the query letter and sort of where we came from. So to take a step back, I finished the manuscript, had some friends read it, and felt like it was good enough to start querying agents. And so before I contacted any of them, I just began tracking them, and I tried to educate myself. I approached it like a journalist, I guess. I started educating myself on what different literary agencies published what kind of books, who was really hungry for new writers, who was making big deals, who was making a lot of deals, and subscribing to Publishers Launch, and just really educating myself. And once I had done that, I started looking specifically for agents that I thought would be a fit for, you know, the type of books that I had written. And there's several different ways to do that. I was looking for, in my case, people who said they were looking for writers in the vein of, for example, Gillian Flynn and Paula Hawkins, or who were looking for character-driven psychological suspense. It was kind of just poking around for people who had used these terms that to me, indicated they might be interested. And I made a huge spreadsheet, and in the meantime, I was working on this query letter, and the query letter is really hard. And
it's a horror.
It's a horrible thing to try to take your entire book and basically boil it down to a paragraph, one little paragraph summary that gives enough information and also teases and leaves the reader screaming for more. And so I did a lot of workshopping on that too, and I also had friends read that and really got it. In the article, I show sort of where it started, which was this maybe, you know, 1,000-word behemoth, and where it ended up, which is a few hundred words, very tight, and sort of to the point. And then I had my spreadsheet, and I sort of categorized agents into tiers of who I thought would be sort of my dream agents, and then who would also perhaps be a great fit, but you know, we'll aim high and start with the biggies. And so I did a lot of querying, you know, over the course of just a few days, and most obviously didn't respond that quickly, but just got them out there. It was like, it's now or never. And then what ended up happening is somebody that I had queried forwarded my query letter to someone else in their agency. They thought, oh, this might be a better fit for another agent. And that agent, within a few weeks of me beginning to query, reached out and actually offered representation. And so that worked well for me, because then I could go back to every other agent I had already queried, and I could say, I have an offer, and if you're interested, I'm happy to give you a week with the full manuscript as well. And so a lot of people sort of retracted themselves at that point, but a number of other people said, sure, I'll take a look. Like, I'll potentially throw my name in the ring. And so from there, I ended up having three offers from three different agents, which is a great position to be in, but also stressful, because you're making a pretty big decision of which one essentially to hire to manage your career. And so I, you know, talked to some of their current clients. I interviewed them. I asked them every question I could think of about their approach and how they would want to position the book, what edit changes they would see me making before we could go on submission. And those kinds of things, and then chose one to move forward with, and I've been very happy with her. So I made it out of that process alive.
And she is?
So her name is Alexandra Machinis. She's a partner at ICM, and some of her better-known projects are Crazy Rich Asians by Kevin Kwan.
Oh, that's...
And, yeah, which obviously is having a great year, that whole trilogy. And she also represents YA, so Children of Blood and Bone. By Tomi Adeyemi was another big project of hers. She's agent for Lilac Girls and a number of just really great great project. So I felt like I was inheriting some good agent siblings, as they're called.
Oh, yeah,
when
boy.
I signed with her.
Oh, yes. Well, definitely. And the what I love about your article and how I think it will, I mean, this is an article I am going to tell every listener to, they really have to read this, because you approach this in the right way as a business, as with really not just sort of floating around out there and dreaming about it. You actually sat down. I love the idea of a flow chart, because you really have to know what you're doing, who you're talking to. And one of the things that I get frustrated sometimes, people will, you know, some of the listeners, they'll come to me and say, well, I got this book and I'm starting at A's and I'm sending out query letters. And I said, what?
Oh, boy.
That's not the way to do it. And then so often these books are out of date by the time, you know, they're published.
Right.
And it's exactly what you said. You want the ones who are making deals today, not the ones who made deals 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And ones who are making deals in the area that is, you know, that your book fits. So all this research that you did is so wonderful. And then your query letter and your examples of the query letter are really right on, because I had Barbara Poyle from Irene Goodman Literary Agency on. And, you know, she gets 10 queries a day. And she says, you know, what they're looking for, and when they get a query letter, they're looking for the hook, the book, and the cook. And in that order, you have to have the hook, something that will right away get their interest, then a little bit about the book, and then the cook, whatever qualifications you have for writing this book.
And, yeah, that's great.
And you follow that perfectly. I mean, that's exactly what you did here. And your samples are really, I think they're very informative, very helpful. I think many people, when they read, once they read this, they'll go back and they say, oh boy, I got to do something here. On the other hand, you know, and not try really stunts, because so many people try to do query letters as with sort of a, oh, I'm going to have a new approach. But in general, I will tell you, of all the agents I've spoken to, and I've had many on the program, they all say the same thing. They want it in the way that they want it, right?
Exactly. And that was a really important thing. Part of my spreadsheet, one column was what exactly you're supposed to send with your query letter and how you want it sent. Because one agent wants to see the first 10 pages pasted into the body of the email. Another wants to see the first chapter attached as a Word document. And this is not the time to try to get creative or to try to make your own rules. You're just trying, because as you said, these people get sometimes dozens of queries a day. Why would you make their life trickier by not submitting it, you know, showing you can't follow directions and submitting it in the way that they want it? So that information is very readily available if they're open to queries, and if they are, how they would like to receive them.
Now, you send out 27 query letters.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, and you personalize them. Again, you cannot send out a query letter like, dear sir or madame. Mm-hmm. They're human beings. They want to be known. They want to feel that you have taken some interest and time to discover something about them. They don't want just, you know, dear sir kind of letters.
Exactly. They want to, it definitely makes them a little more receptive to what you're about to say next. If you can prove that you've done the work to figure out that they're a good fit for your project and you're not wasting their time. And then also above and beyond that, if you have met them at a conference, or if you, you know, have a friend in common, or if they tweeted about an article and, you know, you have something to say about it, if you can connect with them as a human, not in a, you know, lengthy way that takes over the whole query letter, but just connecting with them as a human makes them a little more receptive to what's coming next, and just shows that you're somebody who's easy to work with, and, you know, hints that you're personable and somebody who they're going to like representing if they decide to represent you as an author.
And speaking of easy to work with, in your query letter, you mention that you are willing to work with them if edits need to be done. Because often a writer will, you know, just say, this is perfect now, I'm not going to change a word. I don't think that's the way it works.
Yeah, that's not an attitude I've ever had. And I think that's because I come from a journalism background, and specifically women's magazines. And so I'm used to nothing being final until it's actually in print, and to editors sort of ripping apart and redoing a lead potentially dozens of times. And so I definitely came at it with the attitude of, this is a work in progress. This is kind of as far as I could get it of my own accord, on my own. And from here on out, I'm looking to partner with the best possible team to bring it into the world. And, you know, I think if an author is seeing themselves as an artiste and they're refusing to change a line or really fighting back on edits, I think they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot. And we should trust the professionals and, you know, think of it as a partnership, and that our agent and our editor know what they're doing and want the book to be the best it can be.
Well, one author actually showed me his query letter. And in his query letter, he learned his mistake after years. He actually said in the query letter, "I will not change a word."
Wow.
Whoa. So, of course, he was rejected. He actually landed up self-publishing. And it's a good book. Mm-hmm. But he was impatient. He was angry. He had, like, already done, like, 10 query letters. And he was, like, on his 11th. And he wasn't going to take any more nonsense. Well, that's not the right attitude.
Right.
You know.
Definitely not the right attitude.
Because getting a book out is a business. And it has to be a cooperative business. And you have to form that relationship. And how nice that the agent you sent a query letter to sent it on to a colleague, because that just right there showed that person admired your query letter.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah, I just can't imagine putting anything into the letter that sends the signal that I would be difficult to work with. You know, they're getting, again, dozens of queries a day. Why would you want to stand out as the one who isn't flexible and is going to make their life hard?
they don't need it. They have enough. Yeah. They have enough problems.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they have to deal with so much, and so that you're just happy to work with them, and also it reinforces their credibility, that they're valued and that you value them.
Exactly.
So it's so important. Well, I want to thank you so much, Andrea Bartz. I want to thank you for being on the program today, and I want to thank you for this entire story about how you did it. You are an amazing success with your first book out there, The Lost Night. It's available wherever books are sold. What is your webpage?
Sure. It's AndreaBartz.com. And that's got links to buy, and it's got more information about the book and links to social and stuff like that.
It's Andrea Bartz or Andrea Bartz author? No.
So my website is AndreaBartz.com.
Okay, good.
And that's got all the info there on the book and links to buy. So yeah,
and
thank you so much.
Do you have this article, How I Find My Agent, on that?
So it's going to be in clips under a section that's something like craft writing or something like that.
Okay,
but it is on the website, and you know what? I'll move it to the top now so that if anyone goes to AndreaBartz.com and just clicks on selected clips, it'll be easy for them to find.
Yes, do that, because I think this is such a valuable lesson for all of my listeners out there who are working on a book and just getting ready to find a publisher, find an agent. So it's beautiful. And I want to tell everyone again, well, I knew it was going to be I knew this book was going to be a hit the minute I read. I'm going to read just a few words from the beginning. Now, I actually didn't read the prologue. I have a policy. I read the first chapter first, and then I'll go back to the prologue. But when I read this one, Fat Chickens. I carried it. Fat Chickens. I'm going to start laughing. Fat Chickens packed into factory farms. Maggots. I love this. I get such a kick. I can't read it. I'm cracking up. People, you have to, if you didn't, for no other reason, get this book to read the first paragraph, because you will be smiling, and you capture New York City so perfectly, the subway system. It's just wonderful, and I just It cracks me up. I don't know. Do you ever do a reading? Have you done readings at book signings? I don't know. I don't know. Can you read that paragraph without laughing your head off?
I mean, I think I can, but I'm probably more used to them now. I've read it 100,000 times, unlike you. So.
I've read it at least 20 times now. Keep going back to that. It's beautiful. When somebody can cap, I'm just so happy that your agent read this and is going to make an absolute big hit out of this book and a wonderful TV movie. I'm very, very happy for you and very thrilled about it. Perhaps when the film comes out or the TV, whatever, what do you call it now? Is it streaming or it's whatever? You'd come back on the program and talk to us some more about it, okay?
Yeah, I would love that. Let's do that.
And next time, I don't have any time today, but next time you're going to read that first paragraph.
All right.
Because
I promise.
I'll be cracking up all the time, okay?
All right. Well, thank you again, Patsy. Such a pleasure chatting with you.
Okay. Bye-bye, Andrea.
Bye-bye.
I just even looking at that first paragraph, I tell you, when you can write an opening paragraph like that, I don't know how any agent wouldn't pick up this book. It is really great. And it's a thriller and it's got all sorts of excitement and stuff. But just that first paragraph alone tells you that she is a very talented writer. And this was her first book. Imagine that. She got a nice deal. Again, one of the things she mentions in there, please, please go to Publishers Weekly. Start reading about what agents are active, because that's what you need. And go to Andrea Bartz. Her name is Andrea Bartz, B-A-R-T-Z. She's going to put this query letter information up, how to find an agent, right up at the front of her webpage. Click on it and read it. There's so much. It is really one of the very, very best articles I've seen about finding an agent, with details and two samples of two different versions of her query letter. So you can see how she developed it. And she is a very talented writer, and she's done a great job. I'm really thrilled with it. Now, I want to mention for everybody who asked me, send me some, what happened to the Dorian Hannaway, who was supposed to be on the other day to talk about Debbie Reynolds? Dorian is in Hollywood, and in Hollywood, sometimes they don't recognize the East Coast. So she thought it was going to be 11 o'clock over there in California. And so she missed it and slept right through it. But I'm going to have her on again. So anyway, remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you're very, very lucky, like Andrea Bartz, hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. And your book will be turned into a movie, a streaming video, a television series, whatever. Something. And it's going to be lots of fun for you. So please, start writing today, because that's the joy on paper. And I want to say something nice to somebody today. So I'm going to say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. And you should say something nice to somebody too. And Ed's saluting me, and I'm saluting him. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Bye-bye now.